In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation, we read that the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. He wanted to consume the child. This woman is Mary, and this child is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrated yesterday. Upon birth, the child, who rules with an iron scepter, was caught up to God and to his throne. The whole life of our Lord is simply skipped over. The devil then turned his attention toward the woman, but she was saved by God. And so he directs his fury to each individual Christian. And thus we've come to today, the Feast of Saint Stephen. We've skipped over the entire life of our Lord. We've gone from his birth yesterday to the death of Stephen today. At least we've skipped over it for now. This teaches us that Satan persecutes the church because he hates Christ. And he hates Christians who are connected to Christ. Each dust-up that Jesus had with the religious leaders was an attack on him to get him to slip up, to misspeak, or to send fire down from heaven with those sons of thunder. But Satan was no match for the Word who was made flesh, in whom was life, and that life was the light of men. So he beat him. He spit upon him, mocked him, and crucified him. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God, and you will have all the kingdoms of the earth. How easily we would cave. But our Lord remained firm and resolute, and he gave up his spirit. How that foe in triumph shouted when Christ lay in the tomb. He knew the wages of sin was death. And now with the Son of God buried, he thought he had overcome God and destroyed man forever. He did not anticipate the resurrection. For in death, Christ destroyed death, crushed the devil, and became the victor. And as Revelation showed, he was caught up to God and to his throne to rule over all things for the good of his people. And there's nothing Satan can do about it. Yet Satan has not given up. He turns his attention to the church, to each individual Christian. He could not conquer the head, so he attacks the body. The church is united to Jesus. And so he treats them in the same way that he treated Jesus. And the church suffers. Stephen loses his life, yet gains the life to come. So today we recognize the harsh reality of Christmas. God has united himself to your flesh and to your blood, and you are united to him. You are united to him who was a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. He had no place to lay his head. He bore a cross, scorning its shame. He was unjustly punished, for Pilate knew that he was innocent. He died and he was buried. This is the God you are united to. He is not a God of earthly prosperity. He is not a God of earthly peace. He is not a God of warm, fuzzy feelings or of nostalgic Christmas traditions. He did not come on a mighty war horse, but on a donkey, clothed not in silk, but in strips of linen, laid not in a bed, but in a manger. You are united to the crucified. And so you are united to rejection, to struggle, to suffering, to pain, to discomfort, and ultimately to death. Yes, sing with the angels, but do not get sucked into the false sense of why Christ came. The devil did not give up when Christ was born, and he did not give up when Christ ascended into heaven. So now the life of Jesus is lived through his church in the lives of his saints. We see this with Stephen. Christ was accused of blasphemy. Stephen was accused of blasphemy. Christ was falsely accused of wanting to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Stephen was falsely accused of the same. Christ spoke of the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. So did Stephen. Christ prayed for his persecutors and offered up his spirit to the Father. Stephen did the same. The church does not live apart from Christ. The church does not simply follow the example of Christ, but Christ lives through his church. For he is its body. For we are his body. We did not make ourselves Christians or decide to him, but he called us. He gave us faith. The work is his, and so your life is his. Your suffering is his also. Your life embodies his, and by your life you reveal Christ to the world. Christ was most clearly revealed to the world when he was lifted up on the cross for all to see. You are lights in this world. Not simply when you are kind and generous, but also when you are persecuted, when you suffer. For when you are weak, then you are strong. God continues to reveal himself to the world as the crucified. And this is embodied in the church. But we cannot equate persecution with martyrdom. They're not the same. Martyrdom is an acute form of persecution. Neither is persecution limited to someone forbidding us from preaching the gospel. Persecution is more broad than that. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says it this way: Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. According to Jesus, then, persecution includes speaking ill of Christians. So persecution is any opposition to a Christian on account of Christ. It occurs on a personal, local, state, and federal level. And we find this all around us. Satan has not given up. We could not flee from him when we came over to the new world. That ancient dragon also came over to wage war on the body of Christ. So consider our views on gender and family. They're considered to be culturally archaic, insensitive, and hateful. Or our teachings that life begins at the moment of conception is said to trample on women's rights. We are forbidden from discussing our faith at work. And when we make business decisions that are based on the Word of God, when we vote according to the Word of God, we are said to be mixing church and state. Look at this past year and a half, almost 2 years now. We were told to stay home and commune and watch church online, to commune with prepackaged elements, to separate and stay away from one another, even though Christ himself told us, do not give up meeting together. But it was all in the name of the greater good of public health. In other words, they're fine with us practicing our religion just so long as we conform to them and not to the Word of God. These are just a few of the examples. Again, persecution is simply any opposition to a Christian on account of Christ. So you see, it's not about you. To feel sorry for yourself that you must make this decision or go through this, just to assume that somehow you are important. You're not. The devil could care less about you, but he hates Christ. And since your life is hidden away with Christ, he hates you. Satan cannot attack Christ, so he takes out his wrath on the body of Christ, that is the church. You're not that important, but Christ is. History will not remember you, but it will remember Christ. And if Christ did not unite himself to you in holy baptism, if he did not call you his own, then you would not endure such things. Then again, neither would you be saved. So you are not alone in this. Christ suffers right along with you. He takes it personally. Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me? He asked. He's insulted and belittled when you are. He's the one that's called hateful, bigoted, racist, misogynistic, insensitive, when you are. For these are not your teachings. These are his teachings. He hurts with you and cries with you and is sad with you, for he longs to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks, but they are not willing. He bleeds with you and dies with you so that you might be raised with him when he returns. So like Stephen, your face also shines with the brilliance of God, for he dwells in you. And like Stephen, you see the Son of Man standing at the very right hand of God, which is present on this altar. For here is the source of greatest power. Here God is ready to carry you out of this world and into heaven. And so we call this blessed sacrament the Feast of Immortality, the remedy against having to die. For there is no greater power in heaven and on earth than eating this body and this blood. So as Christ conquered Satan in death, so the Christian ultimately conquers Satan in death. It's not worth comparing this life with the next, even as it's not worth comparing a professional athlete with a child. The resurrection is coming and we will be glorified. Bethlehem's child ensured that. He lived like us so that we might live like him in the age to come. So to say that Stephen received rest from his troubles is really to do a disservice to what Christ did for him. Stephen received unimaginable glory, which cannot be compared to a few stones. Understand, Christ did not promise that persecutions will cease as the gospel goes throughout the world. By God's grace, the intensity varies, and they do not always result in martyrdom. But we should expect them in some form, if it's an awkward glance or a verbal spar. We should not think that something strange is happening to us, for we are the body of the crucified. He lives through us. He suffers through us. Our life is hidden away with God in Christ. So be of good cheer. The end of your troubles is not death, but glory. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.